Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. I haven't counted Jay Posner, but this is probably fourth to last podcast. That's if it can keep our interest to actually do one at the start of every series going forward. But I'm Kevin Asam in Seattle. The end of the last long road trip of the Padres season. Jay Posner, talk to me, Jay. What's on your mind? 100 losses, Jay. Are you relieved to find out that the Padres aren't fretting about it?
Well, I had kind of thought when I looked the other day, and they only need, what, 6 wins now to avoid 100? Yeah. They ought to be able to win 6 more games. I just did a quick count while you were asking how many of these podcasts are left, and actually there are 6 series remaining. Seattle, Texas, San Francisco, the Dodgers, San Francisco again, and Arizona on the last weekend.
I guess I was getting ahead of myself.
I thought the last weekend might be important. With Arizona here, but the way the Diamondbacks are going, and you never know, but they're only 3.5 out, but the way they're playing right now, they could be done by then. The Mariners, interestingly enough, are done. Although their record is 79-64, which would put them tied with Colorado atop the NL West if they could switch divisions, but instead, they're buried in the AL West. They're buried in the wild card race, and they're just in the wrong league, I guess, to be having a good season, because you want to be in the National League, where nobody is really particularly great right now. I did notice, this is totally unrelated, but the Rockies have been a negative run differential team throughout the season, and they finally got back to level last night with their big win. So they're 2 games up in the loss column with what do we have?
For the Padres, it's 17.
17. I think they have 19 games left. Okay. The Dodgers have 18 games left. So it should be interesting. I mean, obviously not for the Padres, except they will be playing Arizona.
They will be playing the Dodgers.
And the Dodgers as well. So there are a couple weekend series that will be interesting. But most of the Padres games the rest of the way, with the exception of those 6, are against teams who are out of it, which obviously we know they are as well. But that doesn't mean there isn't interesting topics to discuss and to look at. And one of those will be on the mound tonight at Safeco Field, Brian Mitchell, start number
in the
rejuvenation of Brian Mitchell.
5 innings pitched, and get this, 2 hits, 1 run. The guy was throwing strikes. Here's the thing, that curveball, which Andy Green talked about in spring training as if it was going to be Koufax, reborn here.
Kershaw, for our younger listeners.
Sandy Koufax of Dodgers fame. It wasn't working. And Brian Mitchell, who couldn't get out of any inning where someone scored, they scored, it seemed like 10 runs, right? And again, like I said, he allowed 1 run. And when things weren't working, he just folded and they weren't working a lot. And yet he found a way. He's developed this two-seam fastball, threw it more than he ever has in his career. I mean, they were just really positive signs. And maybe that was because the bar was so low, but it was a really good start. And then Joey Lucchesi goes tomorrow. And I tell you, Joey just pitched his 5th game against the Arizona Diamondbacks, and it was the best of the 5. That's, I think, a nice sign if you're looking for such things. The Mariners actually came into San Diego, 2 weeks ago, contending. The Padres swept them, and it's kind of been that was it. So, there you go. There's the storylines. I'll see you later.
off into the rain you go.
Yes. Thankfully, there is a roof here. The longest week of my life, 5 days in Cincinnati. I mean, it really was incredible. And those players were in the clubhouse, it seems like, for forever.
I know.
But fortunately for them on Sunday, Jay, this was a little shock to me. Last time I had covered baseball, there really wasn't fantasy football. I would even say fantasy baseball was as popular back when I covered baseball as fantasy football. Oh, my gosh, Jay. That rain delay, actually, gave them a chance to go in and talk some more trash to each other. I mean, they are serious about their fantasy football.
I saw something on Fox San Diego, one of those rain – I flipped on to see if the game was on, and it was a rain delay. story on Austin Hedges, and he was popping off on this thing about being the, like the greatest fantasy football player there was, or something along those lines. So I'm not.
I think Austin's talking a little bit because Darren Balsley's pretty good, and I think maybe Craig. I might be wrong, but Craig Stammen might be the defending champ of the league. But they take it seriously, and it was, you know, as a longtime NFL beat writer, you know, I didn't really see too many football players talking about their fantasy baseball teams.
No, but I know that the fantasy football, I mean, I remember even back when I was around the team a lot, like when Petco Park opened, so we're talking, you know, almost 15 years ago, it was always a big thing as it got toward this time of the year.
There
was always the draft toward the end of August, and then once the games started. I wasn't around as much when the game started because I was out with you actually covering the football, but I know that it's a big thing. And of course, it makes sense. I mean, there's so much time to kill around a clubhouse and around the on planes and everything like that. And I can only imagine.
Well, and then they'll do their phone calls and text strings during the off season, and, you know, not to get.
Well, that was what I was going to say.
That's cool, right?
I can only imagine the text strings that go on during during the off season and the trash talking that takes place between those guys. So it's
it was funny because you hadn't seen, and I'm not to get, but it was you know, look, what else are we going to talk about right now, Jay? but you hadn't seen, it's always MLB Network on in the clubhouse. Well, there were like three different games on the big screens, and then I'm telling you, 6-7 different guys had the whatever it was, Red Zone or Sunday Ticket or whatever, on their iPads around the thing. It was just constant. Then they went out and won, so we can talk about that, and no one can say, oh, well, they were distracted. So they went out and won because Eric Hosmer hit a ball in the air, another one, and hit a home run for the third straight game, ninth inning. Padres hold on to beat the Reds and split that series. So that was good.
And got everybody out of town finally for that. But yes,
yeah.
Eric Hosmer, and I know that's a story that that you and I talked about, and I believe you'll be writing later today about Hosmer and his three home runs in a row. And yes, he did have to hit the ball in the air to get it out of the ballpark. what can you tell us about what to expect?
Well, you know, I guess we'll try to answer the question of what took so long, Eric. But, you know, the easy answer now is, like, this is the time of year to work on such things. And I don't know that we will ever get the story because the Eric Hosmer is just not that kind of guy who delves too deep into what he's feeling or what he's doing. Everyone has noticed that he's a really good guy, a little bit of the superstar level, and doesn't get deep into it. Or it might be something, you know, in the off season or in spring training, I can get him to talk about is the story of what happened this year. Right. There are thoughts around the clubhouse and you know, the team that, you know, there was a little bit of the pressure of being the guy, right? There wasn't a whole lot around him. Now there is. And honestly, his strikeouts are down. He's not chasing as much. He's hitting the ball in the air, you know, so maybe that's all there. But look, there's some startling statistics that I know that everyone who follows the team closely knows. The guy's been, you know, killing gophers all year. But there's some startling statistics I'll share in the story. It really it has been interesting, and it really has been his worst year. Though, you know, if you look at his, he's very streaky every season, and he has a good season. A good season and not so good season. Last year was basically career best season, and this year basically career worst. It'll be obviously one of the storylines for next year.
Right. And of course we know they'll be much better next year. And I mean there could be. I saw the other day where Urias was the leadoff hitter, and I think Mejia hit second. And you know you could throw Hosmer and Myers in there in some order, in Renfro, like a 3-4-5, and depending on who's playing what position and everything, Fernando Tatis Jr., if he comes up, I mean, all of a sudden, if you look at that and then you throw Hedges and a shortstop in there, you know, maybe there's some sort of, although I'm not sure I got a center fielder in there anywhere, but anyway, without, there is potential at least for this to be a halfway decent lineup going forward, we've said this all along, if Hosmer and Myers produce, because it's, you know, it's going to come down. I still think it's going to come down to those are the two highest paid guys in the team. Those are the two guys that need to produce the numbers, and they need to be in the middle of that lineup and putting up better numbers. They've done it at different times this year, but need to do it, you know, month after month to support what Renfroe has done in these past couple months and what it looks like, you know, Mejia can do, what it looks like Urias. I mean, I don't think Urias is, he's not going to be a great offensive player, but he should be a good one.
A good one that good enough, especially with the defense. And I don't know if I'm saying that like strong enough to be complimentary of him. He'll be a decent offensive player, it appears.
Right.
Right?
Right. That's what
and he is really solid over there. And I'm not just saying that because of what we watched there the rest of the season.
I don't know what's going to, and as you've talked about before, and we'll get into this more later on, this will be an active off season. And, mm-hmm. you know, we don't know who all is going to be here at the start of next year and what a mm-hmm. lineup might look like, you know, both in the batting order and on defense. So there's a lot, but there at least looks like there could be some potential for more offense after seeing year after year after year of this team buried at the, you know, bottom of the National League and in so many offensive categories.
And let's make it clear, you're talking about, that's exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about if there is any optimism that has been built over the last couple months, it's that. It's not any sort of win-loss record or, ooh, if they finish hot. It is that. It is that, you know, you need to watch a guy for a month, maybe a little more, before you say it's not a hot streak anymore. It's a sign of who he is. That's my understanding in talking to coaches and players, right? You can go on a hot streak. If you're in the major leagues, you're a good player. What Hunter Renfroe has done since the end of May, that's who Hunter Renfroe is. That's the evidence, because you don't fake it for 3 months.
That's, correct.
This is who Hunter – now, I'm not saying this who Hunter Renfroe has been since the middle of July is who Hunter Renfroe is, because no one is. He has the second most home run since the middle of July.
Right.
But this guy who is a little bit better, who can hover around a 300 off, you know, on-base percentage, and who can hit 30 home runs a year and can hit 20 doubles a year, that is who Hunter Renfroe appears to be. Austin Hedges, this is since the end of June. People saying that he's on a hot streak, this is since the end of June. I don't know that he's to that level, but Austin Hedges is clearly not the 189 hitter that we feared he was. So these are really positive signs.
No, I would agree, and we've seen some positives from the pitching staff as well. And I mean, the weird game was I guess it was Sunday, the Knicks game, where he was so good for, what was it, 4 innings?
Oh my goodness.
And they're winning 6-1 or whatever it was, and you know, I flipped over, I think it was during a commercial of the Charger game or halftime or something, and you know, Joey Votto gets a 3-0. I mean, that was the definition of a 3-0 cookie, what Joey Votto got there. And, you know, and he hit it out, and all of a sudden the game was tied. It was just, and so I didn't see a lot of the game and didn't get to see Knicks pitch really well, but he's had moments where he's been very, very good, but he also seems to have moments where everything just goes off the rails
and that's
quickly.
It.
But again, like, you know, what did he have? I don't know, a half a dozen starts above Double A or something along those lines, and now he's in the big league. So I there's no way I'm going to judge any of these young pitchers, except Brett Kennedy, based on what we've, you know, maybe what we've seen up from them this year. I mean, they've all shown that they could be potential, as mm-hmm. we've talked before, 3, 4, 5 starters, and then you would count on some of the younger guys to, and maybe one veteran that they bring in to take the top couple spots in the rotation. But I mean, they've, you know, the couple of you know, between Baez and Morihone and maybe Logan Allen and certainly McKenzie Gore and Chris Paddock. I mean, those are the type of guys that you would hope a couple of those guys would be top of the rotation starters here in the next, you know, two, three years.
You're looking at a veteran or two. I don't know what level. That's going to maybe be determined by what they do in the offseason elsewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they can't go. They know that they're going to have like 8 or 9 incumbents, and that would include like Cal Quantrill and Logan Allen competing. But their veteran next year, they will not be like Clayton Richard. That's the belief, is that they would go for a veteran who's available. Now, I don't know that it's Dallas Keuchel. I don't think it is.
Right.
I don't know that they're all in on that level just yet. But what they do would be, I believe, and that's educated opinion, based on the rest of it. what can they do? And believe me, there's a lot of either ors here. I'm not saying they trade one or the other, but it kind of is almost like that. Either or Hedges, Mejia, they both could be here. Either or Reyes or Renfro, but they both could be here.
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot of possibilities.
Right. I was going to say, there could be a lot of moving pieces and and certainly probably just a fair share of speculation. And most of it will be uninformed. I certainly include me in that category.
Well, that's why sometimes I like to throw in the caveat of educated opinion. Otherwise, I'm just talking out the backside.
Right. No, I hope that we can offer more educated opinion than some places. But
well,
I'm certainly not going to pretend that either one of us knows everything. That's going to happen, and that's part of the fun. Is to sort of talk about it and guess and then react when it happens and say, oh yeah, we knew that was going to happen all along.
That's what a podcast is for. It's awesome. Jay, I am continually surprised lately at how much fun and I believe informative conversation we can have about this team this late in the season. And today is one of those days. It's more than I thought we could squeeze out of Padres Mariners in September.
We have surprised us yet again. And we will do this again on Friday when the Rangers. I saw something last week that Bartolo Colon was originally down to pitch on Friday, and I got all excited because I was planning on going Friday, and now he's not, and so now I'm disappointed. But
you just keep getting screwed. I mean, Mike Trout.
I know. And they're certainly at the same level of interest too. With that.
Well,
but anyway, it'll be fun to watch the. I still think it's fun to watch these games, especially in person, and it'll be fun to come out and see the Rangers at least once
and
over the
come
weekend.
Come out, see Kevin.
And see Kevin. Hopefully Kevin will be there the day that I'm there. So,
well, I don't plan to not be there anymore. There's a precious few games left, and I know when it's done, I'm just going to be pining for spring training. So.
All right, well, we will talk again on Friday and enjoy one of my favorite cities for the next couple days, and we'll see you back here in another of my favorite cities this weekend.
I'll talk to you later.
All right.